Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose, did you see the big game last night, Arizona-Oregon? Wasn't that incredible? I am so happy that the Wildcats pulled that huge upset, especially some of the nasty stuff that was being said on the Quack Attack blog, or whatever they call it, the Oregon fans knocking our coach, knocking the team, knocking the school, calling Tucson Fresno with cactus. I mean, laughing out loud about that, and so glad the Cats won. Hope you're having a good day. We're looking forward to a great weekend. We are live noon to 1 here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're live streaming and podcasting the show for anywhere, anytime listening at BuckmasterShow.com and KVOI.com. Our media partners, big shout out to them, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. And our newest media partner joining us, Tucson Lifestyle Magazine and TucsonLifestyle.com. Thank you to those folks. Friday Focus interview today, Jonathan Rothschild, Mayor, City of Tucson, with us. Joining me in studio to question the mayor is Dylan Smith, founder, editor, and publisher of Tucson's online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, how are you today? How are
Pretty
things
good.
Going?
Good.
Did you watch the game last night?
You know, I did not get a chance to. I was checking in here and there, but I was buried in work.
You missed a legacy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. How it always works for me. I did, make the wrong choice when it comes to watching something.
And we welcome Mayor Rothschild today. And, of course, 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line. We invite you also to become a friend of the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 3,800 friends on our Facebook page. Mayor, how are you?
I'm good. And Bill, a couple weeks ago, I was one of the last people in the stadium when that catch was made.
Oh, my goodness.
You stuck around for that?
I did.
You had 100 other people.
I'm going to be honest. I went with a friend of mine who was a Cal fan, and I was really there just because he wanted to stay. He left a little discouraged.
That's one of those games, Mayor, that everybody that went to the game initially will say they saw the catch,
exactly.
Even though they were long, they left in the
There were actually 17 people still there.
They left at halftime.
17,000 will claim that they watched.
Maybe they went home and watched it on TV. Big day yesterday. We talked with your counterpart, Mayor Greg Stanton, yesterday here on the show. He's the mayor of the city of Phoenix. Good publicity for the city of Tucson today, the Arizona Republic editorial. Here's just a quick quote. Whoever thought that Phoenix and Tucson, eternal rivals, would come to a meeting of the minds on groundwater storage? And they concluded, Phoenix and Tucson, working in mutually beneficial self-interest. What a concept.
It really comes about because of the work of our two water departments. Mayor Stanton and I, Mayor Stanton, the mayor of Phoenix, and I have worked together, Bill, on joint issues revolving around Mexican trade and normalizing those relationships between the state of Arizona and Mexico, education initiatives, including our dropout initiatives. And this is one that we both believe is going to be critical to the future of the state, which is water supply. And the agreement is a relatively simple one. They will take water that they do not have the capacity to store, send it to Tucson, and we can store it, so we will have that water. In exchange, we will take the credits for that water, deliver them to Phoenix, so to give them the flexibility in the future. We have the water. Mm-hmm. The hope is that, of course, for everybody, as we get great snow the next 3 years in Colorado, and that we don't have to start
to
worry
about it.
But if that doesn't become the case, it's important that we as cities work together. The other thing that's important about it is that as cities, we need to be united on water issues if, in fact, the Colorado River agreements come into play again at the federal level because of water shortages. And so this is really just the beginning of a partnership which we hope is long-lasting.
Here's Dylan.
Well, let's clear up some misconceptions about this. I think there are a lot floating around there. There's not going to be a point in the future where we have to send that water back to Phoenix somehow.
No.
The canal doesn't run going backwards.
No,
people are talking about that.
Yeah. Once the water gets here, it's our water.
It's our water.
Correct.
And we're giving them some future flexibility
in
trade for that.
Right. That's it.
So that is something that people have been asking me over the last couple of days, how does this benefit Tucson? You know, we can see how it's good for Phoenix pretty readily, but how is it good for us?
Oh, no, I kind of see it the other way. And, you know, when you make deals with people, you try to make fair deals, and that's how deals are made. And I think this is a fair deal.
So this works out squarely.
But we have the water. The other part of the deal, which is a phase two, which we would have to still approve, but assuming this works, Phoenix can send up to 40,000 acre feet of water, which is a significant amount. And they have agreed that if additional infrastructure is needed to be built out, they will actually pay for it. So now, this is a very good deal for both cities.
Did CAP have to sign off on this?
They did not, but I will tell you, in my dealings with CAP, which have not been a lot, but they're very much in favor of the different jurisdictions working together to make efficient use of the water that's there. So this is something that
that they really welcome.
Yeah, and this is something.
At what point do we tally up the water? Is it the point at which they start delivering, or the point at which it ends up here? Because there are losses as water moves through the system.
No, it's when the water gets here. And of course, the real advantage is for the state and for all of us is that Phoenix uses much more of a reservoir system, whereas we use an underground system. And we have a wonderful arid seabed on which to deliver that water. So the loss of the water here is much less than it would be.
Yeah, because it's not all sitting in a reservoir. We're actually getting it underground where it'll hopefully stick around for a while.
So this joint agreement comes on the heels. Well, actually, it previews the city and Phoenix working together in Mexico, and the state opening, I think, in Mexico City, the federal district, that office opens next week.
It does.
It's a big deal.
It's an important deal. It's something that I very much wanted to do, as did our council. I think it is a watershed moment, but an important moment from where we started 2.5-3 years ago, the relationship of the state of Arizona to Mexico, because this is a office which is being sponsored by the state of Arizona, by the Arizona Commerce Authority, by the city of Phoenix. The city of Tucson has a role there and access there, as does really everybody in the state of Arizona. And so the fact that Arizona is now going to have a presence in Mexico City and that all of us are going to have access to that office will be hopefully helpful.
Speaking of cooperation, a caller wanted to know about if you had an opinion on the billing charges to the cities for the Pima.
I was just going to try and get into that myself.
Dylan, I couldn't have expected it from you.
Mr. Huckleberry's memo, what was your reaction to that?
My reaction to the memo was surprise.
Not repeatable on radio?
No.
Probably not.
Hopefully not one of those seven words we can.
No, never.
No.
But we have serious concerns, and the concerns really revolve around a couple things. One, we have an intergovernmental agreement with the county for the delivery of these services. And there is some questions about whether some of the services they're being charged for are within the agreement. And we'll have to hash those out. We are in the middle of a budget year. We've set our budget. Unlike the county, the city doesn't control our revenue. Our revenue comes to us through state shared revenue. And so when we set our budget, and as we remember from prior conversations,
not a whole lot of wiggle room going on.
There's not a whole lot of wiggle room. But you know, what it really shows is, and I'm going to go to work on it because I think we need to, is better communication, better coordination, and mutual consent. And somebody did say to me yesterday, you can make agreements with the city of Phoenix. But I will tell you guys this, too, and sometimes this does get overplayed. On next council meeting, we have an intergovernmental agreement with the county on our integrated communication system, which we are constantly doing, which is a big deal for the region. We have an agreement for our housing and urban development, which is a consolidated plan. So on a day-to-day basis, the city and the county still do work.
Cooperate
and work well together. I would just like to see that on a consistent 100% basis. I suppose you can't get 100%. But when disputes arise, I'd like to see them played out with communication between the principals. And the county will say in this case, and they have, well, there was a committee and the city didn't have somebody there. But that's
Wasn't the city supposed to have somebody there? There was a seat.
Right. There was a seat. Correct. But the fact of the matter is they can vote 8-1 or 9-0, however they want. Ultimately, you have to deal with the folks that have the authority. And we should get to the point where we have that communication. I've had to work through the Rio Nuevo situation. I have to work with the state legislature. The county, who we generally have good relations with, we should be able to work through this too.
How are you going to hash it out? I mean, this seems to be something that citizens support, moving towards killing fewer animals at the animal shelter.
So, Dylan,
that's expensive.
Yeah, but there's a separate issue there, and we're going to actually take that up on our Thursday meeting, and it's a small piece of it, which is this trap, neuter, release program. And we've got it on the agenda for Thursday to amend our ordinance, because we don't even have an ordinance that allows it, nor did the county at the time. The county accepted the grant, but designated the service area is within the city. And that's why when we talk about communication coordination, and we'll work it through, I believe. We'll see next Thursday.
And that was just a small part of that whole pushing $800,000 bill. That was about $200,000, right. I think, was the expected city's portion of that TNR program.
Correct.
But there was another $200,000 that was to support the general care going on to, they're holding dogs longer, cats longer, treating them more. Where's that money going to come from?
That remains to be seen.
All right. On that note, we will take our first break of the Buckmaster Show. The mayor will stick around, as will Dylan Smith. And I'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com.
Are you participating in the 2014 El Tour de Tucson, presented by Casino del Sol Resort? Well, head on over to Silver City, New Mexico on October the 4th for the 4th annual Desert Springs Physical Therapy Gila Monster Grand Fondo. It's the perfect tune-up for El Tour at 103 miles with over 9,000 feet of climbing. Once finished, participants can visit the Little Toad Brewery and Distillery in downtown Silver City for a discounted meal and a drawing for a stay at the Southwest Inn at Sedona. More information is at tourofthegila.com. That's tourofthegila.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:21 on this Friday afternoon. The mayor of the city of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild, is with us, and Dylan Smith is here from TucsonSentinel.com. How does the ridership, what are the numbers looking like? Let's see, we are about 2 months into the modern streetcar. What are you hearing?
It's surprisingly good news, at least the numbers we're getting. We were anticipating about 3,600 riders a day. We thought that would be a healthy number, and we're being told that it's about 4,600 riders a day. And, you know, again, this is just by my own pass by, but generally when I pass the streetcar or a streetcar stop, there are people on it and there's people waiting, and it seems to be something that people are taking to.
Are the service hours working out as you expected, with people riding late at night on the weekends?
Yeah.
Do you see any tweaks that might need to be made?
I haven't heard yet of any need for that. You know, it's still a work in progress. And I think if we could pour, you know, there's little minor things like, you know, I've heard people say, could you put a map of the downtown on the area? Sometimes the headways get a little inconsistent, but for the most part, we're getting very favorable response. And, you know, obviously I'm glad for that.
The biggest thing that I hear from people when they're complaining about it is the situation with purchasing fares, that at the kiosk, you can only buy the $4 day pass and you can't, you know, buy a one-way fare.
Yeah, no, I think we're going to have to look at some of the technologies there. I mean, we had a situation I had to deal with earlier this month where we had a bunch of foreign visitors coming to town and the system wouldn't take a foreign credit card. Mm-hmm. Well, shoot, we've got lots of foreign visitors. And so, you know, we've made that patch. And so, yeah, I think that in the next year we'll have to do some work on the fare delivery system. But, you know, it's a big operation, and I'm just thankful that it's operating as well as it is and that people are, I think, generally very positive about it.
All right. So do you think the U of A students really kind of made that difference, the estimates from 36 to 4,600 a day?
Well, we're going to see the numbers. We know that in the 30-day period where we gave the students the free pass, that I think, and I'm always awful with numbers, But I think they were about 13,000 or 14,000 passes given out. So if we convert one out of every three of those to monthly passes or just regular ridership, that could make this thing a real success.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line right now. A caller, Dick, would like to ask the mayor a question. Go ahead, Dick.
Yes, Mayor. This Thursday, you're going to have on the study session the Broadway widening issue. And the staff plan is a go-for-broke design as far as most of us are concerned. And we prefer the reasonable plan that doesn't damage or destroy so many homes and businesses and cost us a fortune. I mean, they've got plans there for 16 feet of take just for trees when none exist on Broadway east of Country Club or on Speedway. They have 8-foot sidewalks there when it's only 4 feet on Speedway by the post office.
Okay.
And then they also have 7-foot bike lanes when the brand new Oracle and Grant Road intersection has 6-foot bike lanes and the speed is higher.
All right. What's the update, Mayor, on the widening?
We are going to hear the report from the Citizens Task Force on Thursday. The Citizens Task Force, which has been at it and studying for several years now, has recommended a 6-lane alignment with 2 lanes for future commitment to mass transit or transit. We will get the full report then. There is some confusion because I've seen it on some of my emails. I have to respond to a few this weekend. That we're setting the alignment, and we're not doing that, to my knowledge, at this meeting. What we're doing is setting a general alignment. And so what we need to do is, you know, the 4-lane it seems to be off the table. The 8-lane seems to be off the table. So we need to go, and if we're going to do this, do the 6-lane with the commitment to transit. And then there's still some hard work to be done as to exactly the widths of the lanes, some of what the caller was responding to, what are the amenities going to look like. And that work remains to be done, but we need to get now to the next phase.
Does that alignment leave the option open down the road, no pun intended, at some point in the future where we could go back and take another look at, you know, possibly running light rail down Broadway?
That
shot down a decade ago.
But right. If
we choose an alignment that precludes that, just, you know, logistically, we'll never be able to think about that again.
Right. My understanding of the Citizen Task Force recommendation is that the recommendation is to go to the 6 lanes with the idea of building it conceptually so that you can have that future transit.
If you choose to do that at some point.
Correct.
How is the program to repair as many potholes in the city as possible? It's a 5-year program. We're now, we'll be winding up year one here.
You know, it's going great. We are ahead of schedule. We are ahead of budget. We are being told that if we stay on this course, we will have money to do some additional roads with the same with the money that the taxpayers gave us, committed to us. And so that's all real good news. And I know everyone knows that when you drive down one of those roads, when you hit one, you feel the difference. You really do. And it would be my hope that we could continue to extend that so that we don't raise any taxes from our current level, but that we essentially have that $20 million pouring into our roads for as long as we need it. And we have a long way to go. I mean, we went in this region and have gone for way too long without paying attention to our roads.
How many years did we go? I mean, it was like 10 years or something without really any kind of maintenance.
At least. Well, there's maintenance.
But
actually
heavy maintenance.
Yeah. Well, road repair, lay down a new surface. And these roads in today.
What are some of the places where this has been happening so that people can
check it out?
Is that the new stretch of Speedway there?
Speedway's one, Campbell's one, Sixth Street's one, coming out of the airport on Tucson Boulevard's one. If you go to the website, we laid out what we were going to do in the first year, and I think we were just about done with the entire first year set of projects. So you can see all of them.
You can certainly feel the difference when you're, driving down some of those roads that were pretty rough.
You do.
All right, Mayor Rothschild, thank you very much for being with us. I hope you have a great weekend.
All right. Well, it just flew by.
It did. The half hour goes very quickly.
You guys have a great weekend, too.
Thank you very much. We'll continue with our Buckmaster Show Friday edition. It will be our Friday roundtable. And joining us as the mayor exits, filling the mayor's seat, will be Dan Gibson of the Tucson Weekly. The mayor's seat on the Buckmaster Show, anyway. Be right back.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama is visiting workers at a steel plant in Princeton, Indiana today, promoting his economic agenda. The timing works out. Labor Department reports today the jobless rate has fallen to 5.9% and employers added 248,000 jobs last month. Public health officials in Texas say they're making progress, narrowing the number of people that need to be monitored because of exposure to an Ebola patient in Dallas. Iraqi officials confirm that Islamic State group terrorists armed with a rocket launcher have shot down an Iraqi military helicopter. The two pilots were killed. Stocks sharply higher on Wall Street. The Dow is up about 218 points. The NASDAQ Composite Index ahead 54, and the S&P is up 23. More details at srnnews.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Everyone is invited to tour Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson during its all-day 10th anniversary celebration Saturday, October 4th. There will be something for everyone, including live action in the surgery department and doctor dress-up for the kids. Plus, your tour pass doubles as a raffle ticket with a chance to win great prizes. Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, home of Specialty Vets for Special Pets.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerville Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our Friday roundtable on the program as we talk about some of the big stories of the week. And joining me on the roundtable, Dylan Smith sticks around from TucsonSentinel.com. He is the founder, editor, and publisher of that online service. And also joining us now, Dan Gibson. Mr. Gibson is the editor of the Tucson Weekly. Dan, how are you?
I'm fine. I always feel like I need some more titles, though, when I'm on here with Dylan.
Tacking them on to mine.
I'm also a certified taco judge. Can you mention that in there?
Did you get a little certificate?
A little card.
Certified by whom? Inquiring Minds want to know.
The International Taco Guild.
Wow. Do you like the soft or the hard shell taco?
I think the soft is really the authentic way.
Okay. I prefer to go that way myself. One of the stories of the week that caught my interest was what appears to be a change of direction by the governor. The governor had originally said when the lawsuit came out about school funding, there's no way we're going to pay $300 million or whatever it was. If we pay this, this is going to be a disaster for the state. She is now urging lawmakers to come up with the money and basically make a deal to settle this thing.
Governor Brewer's the one who signed off on the budgets that didn't pay this money in the first place. It's, a little bit of a curious stance to, basically up front refuse to pay this, and then as you're walking out the door, toss it back in somebody else's direction saying, hey, you take care of this bill.
She does seem strange. I mean, not strangely, I guess it makes sense, but interested in developing some sort of legacy or some sort of positive thought about herself.
In these remaining weeks.
Right, and that didn't seem to be necessarily a concern over the last four-ish years or so. It is easy for her to say, yeah, you could totally cash that out. You should give them the money because it won't be her problem in a very short amount of time. But I don't know what other option there is. Doug Ducey says that the state should negotiate with
the settlement offer is a part.
That's
basically
what
a negotiation. The actual bill is a whole lot higher.
Right. Yeah. That he thinks he can get it down. I think the comment he made was that he'd rather pay teachers than lawyers, which. I don't know if that statement is true at face value, but still.
Well, who are you paying if you're taking something to court? Lawyers on both sides that the taxpayers are paying for, in addition to the bill.
Yeah,
I mean, it's $317 million. That would satisfy the court at this point.
As opposed to $1.6 billion.
Exactly. And you think we have a budget issue with the $3.17, taking basically the rainy day money. If we get into that billion-dollar area, this is going to be a huge issue in the state legislature. Would you guys agree?
I don't think they're going to have any choice but just to pay the settlement. I don't know in what universe that they're going to have.
Well, you have to argue about where that money is going to come from and what else you are going to cut. If you are going to think about raising taxes or closing a loophole somewhere, it's a bill. You got to come up with it somehow. And that, I think, is going to be even once you get beyond the should we pay this now or risk paying so much more later, figuring out exactly where the money comes from is going to be a fight.
And it could be a very different legislature. I mean, not entirely a new cast of characters, but I mean, if Representative Gowan is Speaker of the House, that there's a very different tone than previous sessions.
And he has said he does not want to accept the settlement.
Yeah,
that
he's
he
gonna
wants to go hardball on this.
That would not. That's not a surprising take from him. But, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, and there is sort of this Steve Farley floated offhand idea that the Senate could be Democrat. So, I mean,
that seems unlikely.
It seems highly unlikely. But, you know, so, I mean, if you're looking at Gowan to strike a deal, it will not happen. I mean, he's not that guy. So. No.
790-2040, 790-2040, if you'd like to weigh in on anything we are discussing on our Friday roundtable. And speaking of school funding, Arizona is now the sixth worst place for teachers. That was a group that came out, WalletHub.com. Never heard of them. Maybe you guys have.
Well, that's a website still, that puts out a press release about these surveys about once every 3 days.
Okay.
So you can take, you know, I don't know quite how rigorous the their methodology is for these things. They like to try and, you know, they get press, and every time they have a city at the top of a ranking or at the bottom of a ranking.
Why do we want to kind of believe that that might be accurate?
Oh, I'm certain it's true. I mean,
well, my wife was a teacher for a number of years, so, you know, don't get me too much on a roll here.
Yeah.
About, you know, we are definitely not the best place for that to be your profession. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you that.
The pay is low. I mean, but it is, as it goes, you have to do some sort of normalization. I mean, obviously, the fact that Arizona is, at least large amounts of Arizona are very affordable places to live. What it takes to be a teacher in Casa Grande is obviously different than what it takes to be a teacher in Los Angeles. But yeah, no, I mean, it's bad. It's really bad. There's no question about
that. Well, when you can work for, you know, years and years and years and end up making less money than when you started, which is what has happened to, you know, most teachers. It's really there's a reason that so many teachers are leaving the profession, and so many early teachers are leave. You know, the attrition rate over the first 5 years for teachers is just astounding. So we are not really developing a good pool of experienced teachers. We keep cycling through, you know, young, fresh-faced, eager folks who get burned out very quickly.
Your
and get
new
replaced
insurance agent is likely a former teacher.
Yes,
or, you know,
exactly.
Like when you're the person who's going to be doing real estate, for, like if you're going to sell your home, probably former teacher.
Department of Education came out today saying there are 12 Pima County schools that are failing. Five of the schools are in TUSD and the Sunnyside districts. I always think when these failing grades come out, that must be really a terrible kind of morale situation when you go to school. Speaking of teachers, as a teacher at a failing school, or if you're a student, I'm at a failing school. I mean, I don't know.
It
feels funny.
The school in my particular neighborhood is a D. I think it was an F at one point. And, you know, it was a sort of level of like chagrin and just fatalism, I think, was sort of along the staff there. But part of it was when you put this simple assignment of a letter grade or this idea, is that there are a ton of factors at work there that nobody ever really thinks about.
And what part are they failing in?
Right.
You know, it measures a great many things. And, you know, just the fact that a school is getting a D or an F doesn't really tell you what needs to be done. It might kind of be a signpost that, hey, something needs to get to, you know,
and it
rolling
also could,
over here.
It could also be a problem with the neighborhood, with the makeup of it. I mean, the school in my neighborhood at one point they said a 50% turnover year to year. So, I mean,
With students?
Yeah. So how do you fix that? You know, I mean, the next year you will have entirely a half new set of students.
So you don't have any time to really stick with those kids and develop their education.
Right. So, they come in failing, I guess. They're likely to continue, you know, because you have 3 months to get them ready before.
It's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I think it is. I mean, the opportunity, I think the whole the process was set up so that you could fire people easier, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, it's easier to restructure, you know, develop a, I can't remember what the name of the type of plan is, but to go in and basically make everybody reapply for their jobs who works at one of those failing schools.
Dylan, you had a piece in TucsonSentinel.com about Startup Tucson scaling up with $1.4 million for a small business training grant. People are always complaining Tucson just doesn't do enough for small business people. This sounds very encouraging.
You know, it's when you start chopping up the money, you know, $1.4 million doesn't go all that far. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a nice pot of money, and it's a nice thing to get rolling. Actually, one of the things I meant to bring up with the mayor is that this program was really sort of leveraged by a small investment by the city. They gave Startup Tucson $50,000 a year for 2 years, and then they leveraged that into this grant application for $1.4 million. And what they're going to do is take fairly young businesses that are at least a couple of years old and that are, you know, making a decent six-figure revenue stream and getting them some training about how to really grow their businesses into something that is, you know, a multi-million dollar business with lots of employees.
Is this downtown, or is it just, is it any particular area of the?
I think they're going to focus and mentor on a certain pool of businesses that they, you know, will apply to be a part of this program, and then they'll get them mentors and assistance and training and help. So the Startup Tucson itself is one of the major players in the CoLab workspace, the nonprofit workspace downtown that for a whole lot of people is actually free to use. If you need some place to work, you need a desk, and want to feel a little bit more professional than working at home in your pajamas, that's a place to go stop into.
And they have a ping pong table.
And Dan, exactly. Dan, this is the kind of thing, though, that can encourage younger people. And we're always hearing younger people, after they graduate from the U of A, the first thing they want to do is get out of town.
Yeah,
I
for
mean,
sure.
This is a possibility for, that there are things happening, not just downtown, but that Tucson is willing to, might be a very good place for them to start a small business.
To me, this is more promising than, you know, business A moves into Tower B or, you know, chasing after, I mean, yeah, it would have been great to get Tesla. That would have been magnificent. But, you know, the constant chase after these large businesses where you have to throw tax incentives and huge, you know, like, hey, we're going to give you everything and take in all this infrastructure problems. One big web thing, I know that's sort of a dragon that's somewhat impossible to chase, changes your economy. It really can. You can, we can have a big hit. And I've seen some of these people in their projects at Startup Tucson, and you're like, that is a really great idea. That is a thing that could be. So if we collect a, you know, we're not going to become Silicon Valley next or even Silicon Alley or whatever these names are, but we can create a startup culture here that really does benefit the city that could lead to a much better economic future that's more promising, that's bringing in people from the U of A, it's bringing in people from Eller and all stuff where they want to stay, or even high schoolers, for Pete's sake. It, you know, if we get a Snapchat, as silly as that sounds, that Tucson changes in people's eyes in a hurry.
That's one of the things that that the founder of Startup Tucson, Justin Williams, is really passionate about whenever he gets up on a bench and starts talking at one of these meetings, is that we need to, you know, capture some of that intellectual capital that leaves from the U of A every year. That we, you know, this community, you know, we get a lot from the U of A, but we also lose a lot from young, bright, motivated people who leave this town because they don't feel like it's a place where they can build their dream, where they can start a company and turn it into something, and just sort of changing that ethos to make this place some place where people feel like that is possible.
And so many times, as you say, Dan, we go after these companies. They're going to bring in 200 or maybe 400 jobs, but the fact is that 92% of new jobs come from the expansion of existing businesses.
And that's what you hope for, is that you know, some of these companies may have 3 or 4 employees, 5 or 6. They can go to 20. And that's a big change. These can be good paying jobs that, you know, are allow you to stay in this community. People like to come here. Obviously, U of A is a big draw for people, and it works because people, there's something that draws them this university other than the fact that maybe they live in California and hate their parents. But, you know, why if you can keep them here somehow, saying, hey, there is an opportunity, there is no reason that you have to go to Austin or Portland or wherever. I think this is the sort of thing that's really exciting to me. And Justin does a great job, and he's a great asset to our community, for sure.
The League of Women Voters, they tried to put together a debate series, Dylan. It just didn't happen. I think 6 debates just fell through.
I've lost count.
And bless their hearts. They really were trying to put together something and let the people, let the public, the voters, see these folks up close and personal with questions. But the debates, I'm telling you, they're an endangered species. They are being almost associated with what you might call kind of old media.
Well, And it's not just here in Tucson, but all over the state. Yeah, the Pinnell Partnership tried to have a gubernatorial debate.
Every election cycle, I could foresee the next election cycle statewide, you might see one statewide televised debate.
Let's do a Buckmaster Sentinel Weekly Google Hangout debate for whatever the next election cycle is. It'd be great.
Yeah.
People can, you know, could just sit in your front of your computer. It'd be spectacular. It seems, I mean, I hate to pin it on anybody. I gleefully pin it on something. But
okay.
Republicans in general do not want to participate in these debates.
At least this time around. It's pretty evident that they won't.
Right. Martha McSally has come up with a million excuses, and her people have come up with a million excuses. Jim Nintzel wrote a pretty big thing about it in this week's paper, and they ducked it. I mean, the people at KVUA were trying to get this thing going, League of Women Voters. They sent certified letters. They sent emails. They did phone calls. And we're totally going to get on that. We're going to totally do that. We'll get back to you. We totally are interested. Yep. And then they just let every deadline go by. And then the
McSally folks are trying to throw it back at Ron Barber because he doesn't want to participate in a debate that's sponsored by a group that endorsed her.
Right.
So. Yeah. All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Hope you both have a great weekend. We're into October, prime time, beautiful time of year here. Thanks for being with
us. I'm just waiting for Matt Russell to tell me what to do this weekend.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll be right back. Matt is next.
Are you participating in the 2014 El Tour de Tucson, presented by Casino del Sol Resort? Well, head on over to Silver City, New Mexico on October the 4th for the 4th annual Desert Springs Physical Therapy Gila Monster Grand Fondo. It's the perfect tune-up for El Tour at 103 miles with over 9,000 feet of climbing. Once finished, participants can visit the Little Toad Brewery and Distillery in downtown Silver City for a discounted meal and a drawing for a stay at the Southwest Inn at Sedona. More information is at tourofthegila.com. That's tourofthegila.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Cycle the stunning, iconic course of the Tour of the Gila at your own pace. It's tomorrow, the big Tour of the Gila bicycle race. Should be a lot of fun over in Silver City, which is just 3 hours east of Tucson. And it should be absolutely a stunningly beautiful weekend. Great places to stay, like Casitas de Gila Guest Houses and Little Toad Creek Inn, and lots of things to do. You can find out about the great places to stay and things to do by visiting their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Weekend Watch now with Inside Tucson business, food, and beverage columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Bill. You know, it's Friday. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Or wait a minute, maybe I'm thirsty and I'm hungry. I don't know which I am, but I'm ready to get my weekend started.
Yeah, but by a few minutes towards 1 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, I know you always come to this program hungry and thirsty, which brings us to happy hour.
Absolutely. You know, with weather like this, Bill, I think today is the perfect day to enjoy happy hour al fresco. Mm. And the patio at Tucson's newest Midtown restaurant is my official pick. It's the Yard House at Park Place Mall, and they feature more than 120 beers on tap, Bill, from light and crisp lagers to big and boozy stouts. And their specialty is serving these suds in yard-tall glasses, which would be a great companion to their happy hour fare, like jerk chicken wings or their pastrami sliders. So I say kick off your weekend with a splash by grabbing a yard of beer at the Yard House today.
Well, you've been doing the Yard House glasses forever, so this should be you should feel at home. It's pumpkin time already, isn't it?
It is. You know, celebrating the flavors of the season, chefs Albert Hall of Acacia and Ryan Clark of Augustine Kitchen, they're going to be going head-to-head tomorrow at 1 o'clock up at Williams-Sonoma to see who can emerge the victor at the Great Pumpkin Challenge. Now, this challenge is to create a main course with seasonal pumpkin products provided by Williams-Sonoma, like pumpkin breads and butters and sauces and bisques. And those who turn out for the competition can vote for the chef who they think has the right stuff. I think this sounds like a lot of fun to see two highly decorated chefs go after pumpkins with a vengeance in pursuit of the Great Pumpkin Trophy.
Yeah, pumpkin always tastes especially good this time of year, so it should be a lot of fun. And, of course, this time of year, it's all about Oktoberfest.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, Bill, but I've really enjoyed making my rounds across all the Oktoberfest events this month. And the event at Trail Dust Town up on Tancredi later tonight is my pick of the week. This annual Oktoberfest event is family-friendly and free, and you can dance to live polka music from the Bouncing Czechs and enjoy fun and games, all while enjoying some Pinnacle Peak-inspired German food right there in the courtyard. And there's also going to be a local beer tasting with the purchase of a $12 wristband, which also gives you unlimited access to amusement rides and stunt shows and all that fun. It's all today at Trail Dust Town from 5 to 10 p.m.
We will see you out there in your Tyrolean hat and your little Tyrolean chaps.
I will be hard to miss, Bill.
Hey, what's in the column this week in Inside Tucson Business?
Yeah, you know, another new restaurant is just about to open here in Tucson, and I'm told that the menu will only include those dishes that guests can confidently eat in the dark.
What?
Now, to find out what in the world is going on over there, you got to check out my column in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Sounds like a good way to spend Halloween, looking for food in the dark.
Indeed.
Have a great weekend, Matt.
Right back to you, sir. Thanks.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan, for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Culligan supplies all of our in-studio guests here on the Buckmaster Show with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan. Thank you very much. The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of the team, our producer, Rosemary Brandt, and all of our good friends here at KVOI, AM 1030, The Voice, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend and reminding you that the weekend talk here on KVOI really starts, gets it going tomorrow morning at 6 and really continues right on through Sunday. So there's plenty of what we call expert talk. On behalf of Rose and myself, have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.